Today on Real Radio.
Paul says that this grace was given to him that I, Paul, should preach among the Gentiles, the lowliest. Come on, if we were all a bunch of, if this was a synagogue, we'd say the lowest scum of the earth. These Gentile dogs. Paul says, hey, that's who I've been sent to.
Hey. You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been in chapter 3 of this letter written by Paul, and he's been speaking of the mystery. Now remember, what we call the Bible is a collection of books almost exclusively written by Jews for Jews in a Jewish culture and context. So the author here, who was as Jewish as one can be, explains that what was a mystery before is now explained. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Secret Work of the Lord.
The Bible tells us, Book of Revelation tells us, that day and night Satan stands before God and says how wonderful you are and how great your prayer life's going, and God just keep blessing him. It says that he is accusing you day and night. And listen, this is, can you handle this? The accusations are true. Excuse me, God? Jack slept in. Now, God, I know that's not that big of a deal, but he did promise you yesterday that he was going to get up at 3 in the morning and spend time with you. And I would like you to take note, he did not. And another thing. And you see, he takes your name and he does that day in, day out. Right? The good thing about this is Satan never has a good day. He really can't. He's not God, you know. He can't remember everything. So he's up there. He's got to be up there sweating bullets. What was it, Jack? Somebody, And, you know, Becky and John. And he's up there. He's got to be stressed. Can you imagine? You know, all the time. He's scolding. And he's got to be stressed out about it. We're in Christ. Paul saw his past. It was hidden in Christ. He could look back at it and say, I'm the least of them all. To Paul, that was true. I bet you when Peter read this note, you know, Peter read this. Peter commented in his epistles. He says, you know, Paul wrote things that are really hard to understand. Did you know that? Peter wrote that in his epistle. Paul wrote things that are hard to understand. But this is something I bet you Peter understood just fine. He blew it big. I don't even know this guy Jesus. Seems to me you were hanging out with him. Not me, somebody who looked like me. Can you imagine? And then Peter reads about the grace that Paul's talking about. And when he talks about here, to me who am the least among the saints, I bet Peter said, hey, scoot over, Paul. It's me, man. I'm the one that denied him. But what about us? You see, the whole thing is supposed to be personal. Is Jesus forefront in your heart? If Jesus is forefront in your heart, you are going to be constantly aware of your shortcomings, of your failures, of your inabilities, and of your constant sin. If we're not sinning by doing something, we're sinning by not doing what we should be doing. So we're always sinning. Do we want to? No. We hate it. Don't want to. But the awesome thing is, we see how we are, and it causes, listen, people, true worship to be put forth. You can worship God when you know that you have been forgiven of your sins, and He loves you unconditionally. And how is it? How is it, I don't understand this, how is it that we know a God who is so gentle and so compassionate and kind and so long-suffering that where you are at now, in whatever thing you're in, His judgment that is certainly due upon us doesn't come, not because He's slack, but because He's gentle. How is it that He's not only gentle in what He is in His dealing with us, but He's kind to us and He blesses? Is He approving? No. But the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. In my life personally, there are 1,000 things that have drawn me in 100 different directions. And in the midst of all that's going on, I'm thinking, He's going to just slay me any minute. Put an apple in my mouth and just put me over the coals, will you? I mean, skin me alive and call me luggage. Why is God so good? Do we deserve it? Come on. We do not. Paul says that it's all of grace. People, tonight, if you feel defeated, if you feel unworthy to be a Christian, I want to say this reverently. If you feel so far from God, you are probably the closest you've ever been to Him. Now, I know some of you legalistic, holier than thou, sinless, fault-finding, sin-sniffing, well, you're saying, oh, but you can't, that's no way. Because there's something about being near His presence, and every time you see someone near His presence in the Scriptures, they come away with a very, very interesting view of themselves that very few of us can figure out. They come away humbly bowing in total awe of Him. But somehow, as you read the Scripture, they got a huge smile on their face, and they're radically forgiven, and they go back to their town, and they tell their families, and people are converted, and they hear about Jesus, and they simply know that they are a sinner saved by the grace of God because they've trusted in Him. And if you attach anything more to that, you're fallen from grace. And that's a dangerous place. And you don't want to do that. Paul says that this grace was given to him that I, Paul, should preach among the Gentiles, the lowliest. Come on, if we were all a bunch of, if this was a synagogue, we'd say the lowest scum of the earth. These Gentile dogs. Paul says, hey, that's who I've been sent to. Man, can you imagine? Paul, the apostle, preach the like to do an outreach here in your town. Want to tell you about Jesus Christ and the things, if you read antiquity and find out what's going on in some of these cities on the streets, you go to Corinth, where Corinth, the sewage ran down the street. People urinated in the gutters, openly, in the city of Corinth. They exchanged sexual partners openly. Drugs like you can't believe. Paul says, like to preach the gospel. You can't be a legalistic kind of guy and preach the gospel to those kinds of people. You know what you'll do? If you think you got a convert, you put a suit on him. Look just like us. Put a suit on. Come in here, sit down like this. Act just like us, be just like us. You know what you do? You denominationalize them. And Paul's heart was, remember he said when he was around the Gentiles, he was as though a Gentile. Was he offensive? Never. But grace goes out and gets them. What's his motive? To give them the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. The word in the Greek means untraceable. Beyond scope. The word means beyond the capacity to contain. And I thought today, the riches. In Moscow, just off in Red Square, is the armory. Incredible. You can go to the Louvre. Incredible wealth displayed there. You can go to Fort Knox and find probably not much left anymore, but supposedly all the gold that backs up the U.S. currency around the world. It's a lot of money, you know. You ever been to Hearst Castle? What a weird trip. At one point in time, William Randolph Hearst was the richest man in the world. And at one point in time, he was making, listen, we're talking, I think, the 30s, 1930s or 40s. I remember this because I've taken the tour a few times. 8 out of 10 newspapers read around the world were owned by him. 8 out of 10. He was making $8 million a day. He liked polar bears. He built a pool, indoor. And he had a party. And he invited his movie star and political guests from all over the world. And when you were invited by William Randolph Hearst, you simply responded yes. A coach, a ship, or whatever picked you up at your residence, no matter where you were in the world, and he brought you to your party, and the parties never ended. When the party supposedly came to an end, and they packed up the band, and you never had to leave until you were ready to leave. You can leave anytime you want. If the party was supposed to be 3 days, and you one guest, they'll tell you on the tour, one guest stayed 1 year. You be careful who you invite. It's true. You ever get a chance, take it. I tell you, I think every Christian should go up there and see the castle. He built the pool, had the big party. The pool, when they built the pool, he had guys with gold nuggets, with blades, scraping the gold into the concrete as they were forming the pool. So that when you see it, and you've been there, you've seen it, and you walk around the pool, the gold is glistening underwater. Real gold. Nobody went swimming. They didn't want to mess up their hair. He was so furious that he got his servants together, and he says, no one ever goes in this pool. Ever. They didn't go in it. Nobody goes in this pool forever. Somebody get me a polar bear. They got him a polar bear. He put a polar bear in the pool, and constantly on barges in the 30s and 40s, they were bringing gigantic blocks of ice by barge from San Francisco to put into the swimming pool to keep the polar bear happy. He was so rich. That's nuts. He was expelled from Harvard because he had a pet alligator. So they threw him out. He was a young kid. He said, hey, Sean, you guys, I'll be a zillionaire. And he did. And you look in, true story, He said, I want in my office, in my ceiling, I want one of Michelangelo's works, and this is what I want. Find it and get it. He sent guys 3.5 years. They went looking for a ceiling around the world, and they couldn't find it. And they came back right here, Southern California, Central California, on the coast. They said, we can't find it. He said, I want it. And some little guy comes up, and a little Poindexter guy with a notebook, and he says, we found it. And he says, where is it? It's been in your basement for 5 years. So he put that Angelo up on the ceiling. Have you ever been there? You've seen this stuff. The unsearchable riches of Christ makes Hearst Castle look like an outhouse. God uses gold in heaven to pave the streets. What's he talking about, the unsearchable riches of Christ? Well, you know what? I don't care if you're a millionaire. There's a couple of millionaires that attend this church. I don't really care. I'm glad for you. God's blessed you and you can handle it. There's people in here who do pretty good. That's great for you. There's people in here who don't do so good. That's fine for you. But when I think of the riches of Christ, I'm not thinking of a morsel of bread on a plate that you might be thankful for, and I'm not thinking about $1 million sitting on a plate that you don't know what to do with. You understand that that's zero in God's economy. Zip, nothing. That the rich man and the poor man all comes down to the same level in the body of Christ, because it is by the grace of God that we're saved and that we're equal. It's not socialism. It's not communism. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when I think of the riches that God has for us, in this world, I may be in poverty. But the riches that are in Christ are unsearchable, and they're ours. And Paul is revealing this mystery to them. And we walk around like we're broke. Well, I'm not broke. I've got all kinds of... I'm not talking about that. Isn't it funny? You can talk to a rich man, talk to a poor man. They both walk around like they're broke. And maybe they are, if they're not tapped into the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those riches are things that money can't buy. It's the peace and the love and the joy and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you can pay your fee. You can go to the Father or to the Cardinal or whatever and pay. Like St. Peter's Basilica was built by the sins of indulgence. You pay. You had money. You could buy big sins, big forgiveness. You didn't have much money, you couldn't sin all that much. You had to do little sins. Did you know that? It's true. Read it. It's true. The unsearchable riches of Christ? No, wait a minute. We're not talking about such little things. Tonight, if we should die, he who has the most toys does not win. What a bumper sticker that is. What a license plate frame. He who dies with the most toys wins. What a stupid thing. American Express. Don't leave home without it. Can't help you. Excuse me, God, but I have American Express. We'll see, Sonny. Let's run this thing through. Here a little short. But it's a gold card. No. Isn't it awesome? See this book? About this much of it right here. This part of it here, to your right, is the creation and the propagation in the garden, or the, I should say just the creation with Adam and Eve. You see this part of the book? It's the part that God wrote to buy us back and to redeem us. This part's the creation, this part's the redemption. Which one do you think is a bigger deal? Which one do you think costs more? Which one do you think he wants us to read the most? Isn't it radical? Oh, is he going to save me? Yeah, I think so. But I've sinned so much. Well, what can I know about God? What should I do in my life? Let me see. Does he really care? Will I make it through to the end? He can create a million more universes. He can do it tomorrow. He can do it right now. He died once and for all. Jesus is our peace, who has broken down every wall. The Jew and the Gentile come in now. You can have all the bazookas in the universe. And without Jesus, you have absolutely nothing. You can have all the power and all the things lined up and miss it. Do you have them? Do you have Christ? Is he your hope of glory? You're here tonight. You must hope for glory. We long for his coming. Do you have him?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 in verses 7 and 8, it's actually a study called The Secret Work of the Lord, part of a fascinating series through this Pauline letter, that puts into perspective the privilege Gentile believers now have, having been grafted into the vine of Jewish believers. We'll continue with more through Ephesians on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder about Election Day, November the 4th. It's fast approaching, and in California, we have Proposition 8 on the ballot, a serious attack on marriage. Now, even if you're not from California, don't be fooled by the rhetoric. The civil rights of churches, pastors, and all God-fearing people are at stake. Again, even if you don't live in California, it's important for anyone who supports the idea of marriage being defined as between one man and one woman to be informed on this issue. And so on our website, we've set up a special educational section about the facts of so-called homosexual marriage. Even if you live in different parts of the country, eventually this issue will make it to your state. In the meantime, you can share this website with your friends and family. Visit realradioactive.org to view Pastor Jack's video answers to questions that keep coming in about marriage, homosexuality, civil rights, and so forth. Again, that's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.